So today is Pentecost, and we are setting aside our Come and See Jesus in the Gospel of John to celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost, as you heard in that first scripture lesson from Scott Dubb reading it, was when the Holy Spirit came. And what happened is 50 days after Easter, Penta 50, all the disciples, and pay attention to this because I'm going to come back to it, were gathered together in one room, and they were praying. And as they were praying, suddenly, with the sound of a violent wind, and with tongues of fire coming to rest on each of them, the Holy Spirit came, and came as an abiding presence in all of their lives to stay there. And then the Spirit enabled them to speak foreign languages, at least for that day. Sometimes people think they were speaking heaven's tongue. No, they were speaking foreign languages, and all of this just kind of was just so amazing and so powerful that they spilled out into the street and they started telling everybody about Jesus. And man, because Pentecost was a Jewish festival, there were people there from all over the world. And so everybody started hearing about Jesus in their own language, and they start asking this question, what does this mean? And if we were to read, we'd hear a lot more. But the Holy Spirit, as we can see here, is given with a purpose. The Holy Spirit is given with lots of purposes, right? I mean, the Holy Spirit's given as a deposit, according to Scripture, guaranteeing your salvation. If you're ever worried as to whether or not you're saved, just check. Do you have the Spirit in you? Yeah, don't worry. God's coming back to get a Spirit, and He's coming back to get you. It's a deposit guarantee. The Holy Spirit's there as a comfort, to comfort you. The Holy Spirit's there as a guide, to guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit's there to convict you. The Holy Spirit's there to sanctify you. The Holy Spirit's there to cultivate fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in you. The Holy Spirit's there to give you gifts. Gifts like hospitality, leadership, prophesying, all kinds of gifts. You can read about all of these things. But one of the main reasons you are given the Holy Spirit, and we can see it on Pentecost, is to empower your witness. It's a chief purpose for why the Holy Spirit was given. You can see it, the Holy Spirit's just so strategic. I mean, what better way to get the news of Jesus to lots of people than to come on the day when lots of people from all over the world are there in one place? And what better way to do it than to make sure they could all hear about Jesus in their own heart tongue, and then they can go home and they can tell other people about Jesus? The Holy Spirit was being very strategic. The Holy Spirit is there to empower your witness. And we hear this most clearly just a couple of verses before those that Scott read in Acts 1:8, where Jesus, just before he ascends up into heaven, says to his disciples, says to you and I, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit was given to help us with mission. And knowing that, and knowing that that's the key to experiencing the abundant life that Jesus has for us, it's not just an onerous duty, no, it's part of how we experience abundant life. I think it's really important for us to figure out how we discern and follow the Spirit's leading. And a passage that I think can help us with that is Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. So why don't you turn there now in your Bibles, your Pew Bibles, or your Bible apps. At first glance, this passage might look like just a travel log, but we're going to dig in. We're going to see the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus are mentioned. We're going to see that the Holy Spirit works through a vision and through community, and it leads to an incredibly significant moment in the history of the church. The evangelization, the good news going to the continent of Europe. Most of you have some ancestry there. That's why you're here today. But now, Acts 16, 6 through 10. Listen for God's holy word to you. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the provinces of Asia, the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is the word of the Lord. Keep your Bibles open. I'm going to actually walk you through a number of just key words, and seeing them, I think, in front of you will be helpful as we go through. So Paul and a group that includes Silas and Timothy have been led by the Spirit to go on what is called Paul's second missionary journey. He says Paul's, but it's really a team. It's a team effort. And they start this journey by going to a region where Paul and about a year earlier and a team, different team, had gone and planted a bunch of churches. And they go there, and they're doing this work, and it's great work, but they're like, man, we need to take the gospel to new places. And so they look to turn west. They look to turn to the province of Asia. They're kind of in the middle of Turkey, maybe not quite the middle, but they want to turn west, and they want to go to the province of Asia. The province of Asia included the city of Ephesus. It included the six other churches that will get written letters in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Ephesus is a place that Paul later will spend some time. He'll write the letter to the church in Ephesus. It's all a very strategic and important area. But look what happens. The Holy Spirit says no. Why? How? Why does the Spirit say no? I mean, we know this is going to become a spot that's important later. Ephesus was one of those few places that Scott Dove and I got to pass by. I'd been to Ephesus. He didn't get to do Ephesus, but he got to do the rest of those churches. So we know it's an important area. Why does the Spirit say no? How did the Spirit say no? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know how or why. We can speculate. We can think that, well, Silas, who was with the team, had the gift of prophecy, and maybe he just had a prophetic utterance that said, no, this isn't for you, at least not right now. Paul, you'll go there later. Maybe the Holy Spirit worked through the weather, and the passes were just snowed in, or there had been a landslide, or who knows what, and they just couldn't turn west. But somehow or the other, the Holy Spirit said no. And we don't know why either. We can speculate that it's just later and that some other people are going to lead there. We can speculate it's because God had something better, at least for that time, for Paul and his team to do. But we don't know why. And I think this is really important. This is a hard but important truth. And this is what it is. You're not in control. The Spirit is in control. The Spirit directs the mission. The Spirit says when, where, how, who. And ours is not to reason why. Ours is to go and experience life and to be used by God to make a difference. And this becomes even clearer that it's the Spirit who is in charge when we look at what happens next. So not being able to turn west, they go a little bit further north, and they're in the area of Mysia, and they go, man, how wonderfully and strategic would it be if we crossed and went to the east and went to Bithynia. Bithynia is a region along the southern coast of the Black Sea. And once again, but slightly differently, the Spirit of Jesus says no. Now, this is one of those things where I wanted you to have your text open, because I want you to notice the first time it was the Holy Spirit said no when it came to going into the province of Asia. Now it's the Spirit of Jesus that says no into going into Bithynia. And is there any difference between the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus? Is it just they want to break up the flow of the language, or are they trying to make a point? Some people think they're just breaking up the flow of the language. I think they're trying to make a point. And part of the point that they're trying to make is that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of Jesus are one and the same, and they do work together, and Jesus is directing his mission. Jesus says that I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And he says it in the context of when you're going. That's particularly when you sense that Jesus is with you. And the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Jesus, is saying, yeah, I'm with you. And I'm with you not just to be a nice there, now. I'm there with you to tell you where to go and where not to go. And right now, I don't want you to go to Bithynia. And this, again, is surprising to us, because Bithynia is the home of what will later become Constantinople, which will still later become the home of what is today Istanbul. And it becomes the capital of the Eastern Empire. It's an incredibly strategic and important area. And they're like, yes, this is where we should go. And it's actually the home of Nicaea, where the Nicene Creed would be written a couple of hundred years later. It's a strategic, great place. It makes all kinds of sense from a human standpoint. But the Spirit of Jesus says no. You ever been told no to a good idea? Paul and his team know they're on a mission from God, but they can't go west, and they can't go east, so they keep going north. And they come to Troas. And Troas is an important city. It's an amazing strategic city. It's at the Asian side, at the western mouth of the Dardanelles. And from Troas, one could sail north and west into Europe, into the Aegean, and on into the Mediterranean, and all the way throughout the world that way. They could head south, back down to Ephesus, and down to Antioch, and down to Jerusalem, or the ports right off of that, and then down into Alexandria and Cairo. They could go that direction. They could sail east rather than travel on foot or horseback by land east, and they could have gone through the Dardanelles and the Bosphorus and on into the Black Sea, and they could have traveled things that way. Or they could go north and a little bit west, and they could cross into Europe. It's a strategic location, and it's the kind of city that Paul would have just thrived in, because it's very cosmopolitan, it's very international, and there's a good Jewish population, and he'd be really good at speaking to them there, and he could have started his ministry there, but apparently he wasn't there very long. Because one night he has a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging, saying, come over to us. The Holy Spirit has said no to Asia, has said no to Bithynia. They've gotten to Troas, and now the Holy Spirit says, here's where you're going. But the Holy Spirit says it through a vision, and I think this is important to pay attention to, because visions and dreams are definitely part of how the Holy Spirit works, right? We actually, if you were to go back and you were to read more about Acts 2 and when the Holy Spirit was given and everybody's going, what does this mean? One of the ways that the Apostle Peter will explain it is to go and grab a prophecy from Joel that says that your young men will have visions and your old men will dream dreams. And he says, this is what's happening. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. And the Holy Spirit does send visions or dreams. But I think it's really interesting that the Holy Spirit doesn't do it that often. You can't lock the Holy Spirit into one way of working. If you go throughout Scripture, you will not see that many visions or dreams, particularly in the New Testament. It just doesn't happen that often. And I think there's a reason why. And I think the reason why is because dreams and visions are so subjective. What does this mean? Have you ever had a dream and you go, what did that mean? And if you tell it to somebody, they might have a completely different interpretation than what you had. It's hard to figure things out from dreams and visions. And this is where I really want you to notice what the Apostle Paul does. And I want you to notice two words in verse 10 of your text. And the first word I want you to notice is the word we. This is the first time the word we has occurred in the book of Acts. This means that Luke, the author of Acts, has joined the team, apparently, in Troas. He wasn't there when they started earlier in verse 6, but now in verse 10, he's there. So everything you're hearing is eyewitness account of how the Holy Spirit is leading. We can see clearly because he's right there doing it. But then we concluded, it was a group discernment project. It wasn't like Paul just said, hey, I know where we're going, let's go. No, he's like, hey, I had a vision. Here's what I think. What do you think? And they came together, and there was this communal aspect of figuring out where the Spirit was leading. And I just want you to notice this, because this happens a lot, that the Holy Spirit likes to work through community. The Holy Spirit will never guide you contrary to Scripture, but the Holy Spirit will certainly guide you in and through community. You saw this on Acts 2, right? They were all together when the Holy Spirit came. You see it in Paul's missionaries. He never goes alone. Jesus never sends you alone. He always sends us out two by two or more. Paul always did his work in a team. And so this community comes together, and Paul has this dream or vision, and they go, what does this mean? And together they discern it. I think that's an important thing for us to notice. But then I want you to notice one other thing, that after they discern it, what do? And notice the words at once. At once. As soon as they figured out what the Holy Spirit was saying, go over here, they at once pack up and they start to move. They don't dilly-dally, they don't wait, they know where they're going. And on some levels I think, man, they must have been excited. On other levels they're like, going, well, wait, Troas is a good place. We could do good work here. I don't want to go there. I don't know anybody over there. This place is very contrary to what I'm thinking, but they at once go and they obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. And what they do is, if you were to keep reading in Acts, is they get on a boat and they cross over immediately, maybe a day's journey, maybe a little longer depending on the winds, and they end up in Philippi. And Philippi is very different than all the other places that Paul had always done work. Because Paul had always gone and started with Jewish areas, and Philippi is an area that the Jewish population is so small that they don't even have a synagogue. They just have a place down at the river where God-fearers would join. And then he meets Lydia, who has connections to the royal court and all kinds of things, and Europe gets reached. Now, from Paul's standpoint, he couldn't see that. I mean, it's just a day's journey. It's just a little bit north. It's still in the province of Asia, of Rome. It's still the same language. It's still the same culture. It's still all the same thing. It didn't seem that big a deal to him, but to us, it is a huge deal, because this is where the gospel crosses into Europe. And Europe will become a major staging ground for God's mission for a lot of centuries after this. It's a big deal. But what does all this mean for us? It means we need to move out in mission. Now, I want to point out something to you. Maybe this is fairly obvious, but you know it's a lot easier to steer a moving car than a parked one? Right? I mean, the Holy Spirit is powerful enough, he can steer a parked church. But a church that's moving, he can steer really effectively to where he wants to go. And I want to share this with you, because, church, I think you're actually moving. We just did this Grow campaign, and we named 220 people that were either by name or that we're agreeing to pray for, who we said that we're calling them ones, who will rearrange our life to spend time with in the hopes of helping them start to, or renew a walk with Jesus. Right? That's huge. You're moving. You're doing something. This is great. But I'm preaching this to you today because some of you, maybe a little bit like Paul and his team, have felt stymied. Maybe you issued an invitation and they said, I'm busy. Maybe you've been praying and you still don't know who it is you're supposed to be reaching out to, and you're going, I'm just frustrated, and maybe I just want to park it. No. Don't park it. Keep moving. And as you move, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to direct you, to lead you to where and how and when and to whom you're supposed to go. No from the Holy Spirit is a way to get to yes, and a yes that is more effective and better. Keep moving. And keep asking. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead. Ask Him to open doors. Ask Him to give Him opportunities. Ask Him to give you visions and dreams. Ask Him to give you ideas. Ask Him to put coincidences, which are anything but coincidences, into your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead. And then when the Holy Spirit does lead, you know what you need to do next? Take it to the community. Take it to the community. Now, sometimes you're going to hear the Holy Spirit say something and you need to do it right away. But even afterwards, take it to the community. Because it's going to be encouraging to them. It's going to be reminding of them to go look for and seize opportunities and to try stuff. But sometimes you're going to get a prompt from the Holy Spirit and you're going to go, really? You want me to do that? Isn't this a better idea? And when that happens, what you need to do is you need to take it to the community and you need to ask and go, God, is this what you're saying? And if the community comes and says, yeah, I think the Holy Spirit's saying you need to do that, then get after it. Go do it, because the Holy Spirit can work through that and for that for your good. He can lead you. He wants to lead you. And it leads you not just into mission, but through mission into abundant life. An exciting life. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to say something that's really simple, right? He's going to say, send that text. Send that text that says you're praying for somebody. Or send that text that says, hey, good job today. It's just really simple, and you do it, and believe me, it makes a bigger difference than you know. I mean, you can find all kinds of stories that sometimes just a simple text made a huge difference, and it was just the prompting, and you do it. But sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to ask you to do something big. Some of you right now, the Holy Spirit's prompting, asking you to come serve on session or as a deacon. And that came from community. Be careful about saying no to that. Some of you, the Holy Spirit's asking you to do something crazy, like volunteer with our children. Like, man, could anything come out of that? Just ask the people who volunteer with our children. Lots can come out of that. You can make a huge difference for eternity in the life of a kid. We preached that just not that long ago, that it takes 5 adults for every kid who are pouring into them to connect them to the church for the long haul, to connect them to the faith for the long haul. Some of you are being prompted to give more generously of your time or your talent or your treasure, and you need to run that by community. But then if the answer is yes, you need to go do it. Some of you are being asked even more. You're being asked to go into mission. You're being asked to go into ministry vocationally. Some of you young people who are getting ready to graduate, and you're going, God, what are you calling me to do? Some of you are being called to ministry. And you're like, ah, man, Engineering sounds so much more fun. I'm picking on my son. I think he is called to engineering, just for the record. So some of you are going, business sounds so much more fun. And maybe it makes a lot more sense, and maybe that is what you're called to, but maybe you're called to do what I'm doing. Believe me, I was a Jonah. I didn't want to do this. God had to make it. I'm so glad he did. But the Holy Spirit's going to lead you. And you need to say yes. And when you do, it's the best thing ever. You know, Paul goes over to Philippi, and Philippi becomes one of his favorite churches. If you go read the epistle to Philippians, you'll hear the word joy more often than anything else. It becomes one of his biggest supporters. It connects him. It launches a lot of ministry. It's a great thing for Paul. And when you say yes to God, it will be a great thing for you. You'll experience life, real, abundant, eternal. And it'll be to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Hey, I want to take some time, and I want us to go into prayer, thanking and seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance. So would you join me in prayer? Lord, thank you that you poured out your Spirit on Pentecost, and that your Spirit is an abiding presence in all of our hearts and lives and minds. Lord, that you're there, that you're living and active, and that you're guiding, and that we know that we're saved, and we have assurance, and we have comfort. Lord, thank you that your Spirit gives us gifts. Gifts that equip us and enable us for ministry. Thank you that your Spirit cultivates fruit in us, like love and joy and peace and patience, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Lord, thank you that your Holy Spirit leads us. And that you do it so gently most of the time. Lord, do lead us. Lord, give us visions. Give us dreams. Give us ideas. Give us opportunities. Prompt us. And then give us courage. Give us wisdom. Give us a community that can help us discern what it is you want us to do. Who it is you want us to do it with. When and where. Lord, and as we get that, may we get after it. May we joyfully run the race that you put before us. May we dig in with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind as an act of love to you. May we want to be your people. Lord, I pray for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit even now. Lord, I pray that you would do something just so mighty that we have to spill out of here and out into the streets, and that we can tell people near and far, Lord, that the good news of the gospel. Lord, I pray for another great awakening. I pray that it could start even here, even now, with this group of people. And Lord, I pray for revival in us. Lord, your Spirit's done it before. Your Spirit can do it again. May we be willing. We ask this in your name. Amen.